जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। जशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। यमुना तीरवनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोरा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस बलिराज काचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद हिस्वाय से श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपार की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौ प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि वो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आगवेश दिय संबल व्यवथी। आगवेश दिय संबल व्यवथी। आगवेश दिय संबल व्यवथी। आगवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग।
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha, text number 23. Word meanings, iti thus, mi mangsataha, while deliberating, tasya, his, brahmana, of Brahma, saha, along with, sunubihi, his sons, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Yajna, Lord Vishnu, Purusha, the Supreme Person, Jagarja, resounded, Aga Indra, great mountain, Sanibha, like. Iti mimangsatastasya Brahmana sahasunubi Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Jagarja Gendra Sannibha Iti Mimangsatastasya Brahmana Sahasunubhi Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Jagarja Gendra Sannibha. Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Yagarja Gendra Iti Mimangsatastasya Brahmana Sahasunubhi Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Jagarja Gendra Sanyabha Iti Mimangsatastasya Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Jagarja Gendra Sanyabha Iti Mimangsatastasya Brahmana Sahasunubhi Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Jagarja Gendra Sannibha Iti Mimangsatastasya Brahmana Sahasunubhi Bhagavan Yajna Purusha Jagarja Gendra Iti Mimangsatastasya Brahmana Sahasunubhi You notice this word, mimangsatas. You've heard of karma mimangsa philosophy. So it means they're studying it karma very deeply. Karma mimangsa. Mimangsata here, while deliberating. So Lord Brahma's thinking very deeply. Translation, while Brahma was deliberating with his sons, The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, roared tumultuously like a great mountain. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It appears that great hills and mountains also have their roaring power because they are also living entities. The volume of the sound vibrated is in proportion to the size of the material body. While Brahma was guessing about the appearance of the Lord's incarnation as a boar, the Lord confirmed Brahma's contemplation by roaring with his gorgeous voice. Om jnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. This is one of those interesting facts that some mountains can roar because they are living entities. As I'm reading this now, I was thinking, oh, I should have looked up that purport, because there's a one place where Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur talks about different living entities. And one thing, he talks about plants having eyes, because there was something in the verse that indicated that, that plants can also look around. So mountains can roar and plants. And Prabhupada talks about stones sometimes. He includes them in different kinds of living entities. Stones. Which is a strange thing to me, because I think, well, aren't there supposed to be six kinds of things that happen, right? Birth, whatever it is, producing byproducts, growing old, so on. So I think, well, how does a stone do those things? But anyway, another one of those bewildering things. So this is something interesting. Lord Varaha has appeared, and he's roaring. And his roar is extremely loud. Jagarja resounded like a great mountain. So this is, and of course Prabhupada makes the point here that usually the sound is in, it corresponds to the size of one's body. Now what's interesting is that Krishna's voice is always described as rumbling. Krishna has a deep voice. You know, there are different parts of Krishna's body have different characteristics. So Krishna's voice is deep. Even though he's, you know, always young looking, it says he has a deep voice, and sometimes it says that his voice was like the rumbling of clouds. This also comes up in other places. It's a very common expression, actually. One of the, of course, the implications of it is that there's gravity there, something that's deep. Of course, low voice also is a masculine trait. Men tend to have lower voices than women. So especially like someone like Prithu Maharaj, when he speaks, his voice is also like thunder. That's another, you know, the example is given that the voice is roaring like thunder, very loud. So it's very pleasing, actually. Of course, when you hear this, you think, well, now Lord Boar, you think usually, you know, if a boar were to roar, especially if you're in the woods and you hear a boar roaring, you'd probably be pretty scared. Or, you know, a tiger or whatever wild beast is there in the forest could really scare you. But here it's considered to be very beautiful. In fact, of course, whatever sound the Lord utters is going to be transcendental. It could produce ecstasy just to hear that sound. But so many things about Krishna we'd like to hear, and things related to Krishna's devotees also. And they're portrayed in different sounds or different things, the way they speak at different times and so on. They're, you know, they display different characteristics of the person, or they tend to be, you know, suitable to the time, place, and circumstance. So I went looking around for different examples of different kinds of sounds and so on. Actually, one of the things I was, there's an old, some of you old timers may remember this. There's a record company called His Master's Voice. And in the United States, it was RCA Victor. And their logo, it had one of these old gramophones with a big speaker coming out of it, like a cornucopia kind of thing. And there's a dog sitting there, and he's listening. So the name of it is His Master's Voice. So obviously, he's listening to His Master's Voice, you know, coming out of this gramophone. So I was saying, well, how that night? We want to hear our master's voice also, of course. Krishna's voice or the guru's voice. like Srila Prabhupada's voice. When, you know, we're attached to that, right? We like hearing Prabhupada's voice, obviously, his singing and his speaking. And I like actually listening to Prabhupada in 22nd Avenue, where he's his voice was a little higher than, I think, because he was so excited a lot of times when he was talking. His voice sometimes cracked in ecstasy as he's talking about Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada's voice never stopped. When you read Prabhupada's Leelas, he's always speaking, always speaking. And any topic, he would always relate it to Krishna. So his master's voice, our master's voice, of course, it had his particular charm that's, you know, we love to hear. This reminded me, there's a phrase, Hunkar. Actually, Prabhupada had a disciple named Hunkar. Hunkar means either the sound, hum, or just means a loud sound. When Advaita Acharya was calling Sri Chaitanya or Krishna to come as Lord Chaitanya, he spoke in a loud voice. He called out in a loud voice addressing the Lord. Actually, when we're singing, we're supposed to, uchai is a word. Uchai means loudly. In the Phala Shruti for the Guru Rashtaka prayers, it says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, one who recites these prayers in a loud voice every morning will go back to Godhead. So we're supposed to sing loudly. I have a little problem when the ladies sing because their voices are low and it's hard to sing loudly when it's down. So I sometimes have to sing an octave higher to try to get loudly, chant loudly. And anyway, I'm going to read some things out here. I just took some notes about, you know, different things. Different persons talking in a loud voice in different situations. Maharaj Pariksit, well equipped with arrows and bow and seated on a gold embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice resounding like thunder. So this is another example. We have the Kshatriya, Maharaj Pariksit. He's the emperor of the world. He's a very powerful person. So when he speaks, especially as he's chastising this person who's striking a cow, so it's going to come out like this, resounding like thunder. He's not messing around when he's speaking. It's not little squeaky voices going to come out. Some very grave, heavy, strong voice is now, stop. Yeah. You're in trouble, buddy. This is actually, some of the, I'm going to read some things and you can tell me where it's from. I think you probably know, a lot of you know where this is from. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna, Krishna, in a deep voice. Yeah, that's when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a dream that Lord Balaram, or Nityananda Balaram, appeared to him in a dream. So he was in ecstasy, swinging to and fro, and he chanted Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. In a loud voice, what does it say? Deep voice, in a deep voice. Here's something. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. This is from Anchi Leela. My dear, oh, this is beautiful. This is Lord Chaitanya, of course, in one of his ecstasies, especially in Anchi Leela, there's a Lord Chaitanya in ecstasy. So this is a verse from Govinda Lilamrita, which is by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which is about Radha Krishna Leela. I think it's Ashtakalya Leela, if I remember correctly. So anyway, so this is, Lord Chaitanya is quoting this verse. Said, my dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. With the tinkling of his ornaments, he attracts the ears of the gopis, and his joking words carry many indications and deep meanings. With the sound of his flute, he attracts even the goddess of fortune and other beautiful women. That personality of Godhead, known as Madan Mohan, is increasing the lusty desires of my ears. So obviously, Srimati Radharani is reciting this, saying this. So this is it. There's a few verses here, two verses actually, that explain what's going on here. So it says, Krishna's deep voice is more resonant than newly arrived clouds, and his sweet song defeats even the sweet voice of the cuckoo. Indeed, his song is so sweet that even one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. If such a particle enters one's ear, one is immediately bereft of all other types of hearing. Only the most fortunate can hear these four nectarian sounds. So that's the idea. This verse presents four nectarian sounds that we'd love to hear. Right? Krishna's voice, the tinkling of his ankle bells and bangles, his words, and the vibration of his flute. If one does not hear these sounds, his ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. Not only are they little conch shells, but they have holes in them. You know, a conch shell with a hole in it is not worth much. It doesn't really resonate. So these four things, I often think of this. Actually, I have another quote here. I don't know if I can find it quickly enough, but it talks about Krishna. Actually, I think it's coming right up here. Here, it says, as the gopis sang his praises, that leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. So I always think, wow, what? How would you like to hear that? There's something when somebody can really sing, it's so wonderful to listen to. So imagine Krishna singing. We tend to think more about Krishna's flute, how beautiful Krishna, because Krishna's flute can also, it's like singing, actually. He can speak through his flute. So his flute playing is amazing. But Krishna's singing, and he has a deep voice. And then the gopis are singing along with him. So how beautiful that must be. Let's see here. Anyway, I'll go through this. There's another, oh, it's probably in the back, sorry. I want to find this. Well, here we go. This is from the Rasa Lila. One gopi joining Lord Mukunda in his singing sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. So they're singing in harmony. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, excellent, excellent. Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. So this is part of their, you know, the Rasa Lila. They really enjoy their singing together. And of course, they're expert musicians. It says when Krishna plays his flute, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and other great personalities who know everything, so they know all the technicalities of music, but they can't analyze when Krishna plays his flute. It just blows their minds, really. They can't say, you know, they just like someone who knows classical music, they can talk about and certain things. So when the great personalities like Brahma and Shiva hear Krishna's flute, they can't, their analytical feature qualification gets shut off, and they can only relish it and get carried away by the sound of Krishna's flute. So the same thing here, just, you know, they're singing together, and it's just so beautiful. So let me read, I'm going to read some more things here. Now this is a completely different mood here. You'll definitely know where this is from. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhishthir, that Narada Muni is reciting the whole Nrisimha Lila. Narada Muni speaks most of the seventh canto to Yudhishthir. Oh, my dear Yudhishthir, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. So Krishna can sing so sweetly with the gopis, but he can also sing in a different body. Of course, they're all the same. He can crack the coverings of the universe practically with his roar. Actually, this, did I read this? Oh, he says, as the gopis sang his praises, that leader of 100 women sang in reply. Yeah, I read that. Okay. Now, these are just some random different things I picked up. With a merciful glance and a voice like thunder. This is just another example. There's a lot of these, voice like thunder. The Lord addressed the sons of King Prachina Barishat, who were very much surrendered unto him. So this is at the end of the fourth canto. The Prachetas, they're performing austerities, and Lord Vishnu arrives there. So Lord Vishnu also, he has spoke to them with a voice like thunder. Now see, I think some of you will know who this is. His voice was as sweet as a cuckoo's. and he would recite each verse of Srimad Bhagavatam in three or four tunes. Thus his recitations were very sweet to hear. Yeah, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. That was his service. Lord Chaitanya gave different personalities, different services in Vrindavan, and he told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So he would do it, and the devotees would gather to listen to him, and they would relish because he did it in such a sweet way, the way he sang. So his voice was very sweet and relishable. Well, here is Krishna. Krishna, this is just another example of Krishna's voice. Thus praised by Indra, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiled beautifully and then replied in a grave voice like a rumbling cloud, "My dear Indra, etc." I was just reading this section, actually. Krishna was very merciful to Indra compared to what he did, considering what he did. He actually forgave him. Of course, Indra was one prayer after the other, giving different reasons why Krishna should forgive him. But it was a grave, very grave situation. So Krishna, his voice was like a rumbling cloud. Now this is a description of Abhimanyu. Not sure which chapter this is from, but it says, "A grand wielder of the bow, Abhimanyu was as proud as a lion. With the courage of a maddened elephant, a deep voice like thunder or rumbling kettle drums, and a face as bright and handsome as the full moon, he was just like Krishna himself in courage, power, beauty, and physique." Let's see. This is from Gopal Champu. "Then Sri Krishna heard..." So this is a different kind of sound. "Then Sri Krishna heard the soft, sweet, shy, wondrous, lamentation-filled, and affectionate calls of a voice like the cooing of parrots or other birds. The voice said, 'O sapphire born in the dynasty of Braja's king, O Chintamani jewel of Braja, O moon of Vrindavan's force, O dear beloved of the gopi goddesses of Braja, O dancer who dance on the Yamuna's banks, whose dance on the Yamuna's banks delight the three worlds, O beloved, when will you cast a glance on this sorrow-filled girl?'" So Srimati Radharani's voice here is described: soft, sweet, shy, wondrous, lamentation-filled, and affectionate. That's from Gopal Champu. This is also from Gopal Champu. This is a little bit longer. This is a leela. So Radharani placed the following requests before her beloved Krishna. Actually, for one little part of this, actually. O dear most Krishna, Lalita and Vishakha always try to make me happy. They do not strive for their own happiness. Please give pleasure to them and to the other gopis devoted to me. Enjoy amorous pastimes with them all." Sri Krishna said, "O beloved Radha, on some pretext, I will indeed enjoy amorous pastimes with Lalita, Vishakha, and the others. How shall I approach them?" Smiling, Sri Radha said, "First put on my garments, then approach them." Sri Krishna said, "O beloved Radha, please dress me now in your garments." Then with great playfulness and with jokes and laughter, Radha dressed Krishna in her own garments. Disguised in this way, Krishna approached the gopis and, speaking in a voice like Radha, that's why I'm reading all this, speaking in a voice like Radha, spoke the following pleasing and affectionate words: "O friends Lalita and Vishakha, after enjoying joking pastimes with your friend Krishna, I secretly came here. Allow me to hide here amongst you. Allow me to sleep with you in the same bed." So we'll end the pastime there. You know, Krishna's speaking in Radha's voice. We often hear about people disguising themselves, right? Krishna disguised himself as Abhimanyu, for example. And they're so good at it that people can't even tell. So Krishna's speaking in Radha's voice and they can't tell, it seems like. Of course, they figure it out, actually. It becomes revealed in the pastime. That's also from Gopal Champu. So let's see, what is this one about? Oh, I'm not sure where I got this from. Bhakti Sandarbha or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It talks about the devotee in prema, devotee rolling on the ground and how the devotee goes into ecstasy. Then it says, sometime later, ultimately he goes to, what's the last one? Laya, pralaya. Pralaya means devastation, which means basically he faints, the devotee faints. So it says, sometimes later he awakes, jumps up, sits down, and weeps incessantly, wailing in a loud voice like a madman. Actually, we hear a lot of that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, also Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya's devotees, sometimes they cry and cry and cry. Sometimes they laugh and laugh and laugh. In fact, I was just reading, when Lord Chaitanya left, this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he took sannyas, then Mother Sachi, she was in the mood of Mother Yashoda. So she cried a lot, but sometimes she would just start laughing. And sometimes she would laugh for 6 hours. 6 hours laughing, boy, you get a pretty sore stomach by doing that, I think. let's see, what is this one about? Oh, this is about Vritrasura. So I was just looking for a loud voice. And it says, dancing, so a description of Vritrasura, this great demon. He had hair on his body, a beard and mustache, the color of melted copper. His eyes were piercing like the midday sun, so and so on. It says, dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble as if from an earthquake. Let's see, what's this one? Okay, here's another scene. I think you can probably guess where this is from, those of you who know the Bhagavatam. In great agitation, the maidservant struck her breast with both hands and cried loudly in regretful words. Hearing her loud voice, the queen immediately came, and when she approached her son, she saw that he was suddenly dead. So this is the story of Chitraketu and his 10 million or whatever it was, barren wives. Finally, one of them had a child, and then the child died. So the maidservant found the child, and she was, of course, crying, and then the queen heard it. So this is a verse from the 12th canto, actually. If when falling, slipping, feeling pain, or sneezing, one involuntarily cries out in a loud voice, Haraye Namaha, obeisances to Lord Hari, one will be automatically freed from all his sinful reactions. So this is a good habit we should get into. Of course, we could say Hare Krishna. I usually say Hare Krishna, not Haraye Namaha, but that's what it says here. That's what the Sanskrit says. So if you're falling, slipping, feeling pain, or sneezing, if you just spontaneously call out Hare Krishna, then you're free from all your sins. Of course, we do lots of things that are freeing us from all our sins. So here's this description of Lord Chaitanya. Thus the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvip. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. That can be quite scary. Actually, it says somewhere too, isn't it? When you're chanting that it's like a loud, like a lion roaring and chasing away all the lesser animals. I'm always reminded, those of you who have read Shyam Sundar's books, his Prabhupada's Chasing the Rhinos. So it was the very first one in the preface to the book. He talks about he was in the Amazon jungle or some jungle in South America, and he was there with a guide who was looking for gold or something. So he was, all night long there was a jaguar who was surrounding them. He was walking around them at night. They were holding on to each other, you know, shaking in fear all night long because this jaguar was roaring all night long. So Lord Chaitanya's roar chases away all inauspiciousness. Let's see. Oh, this is, that's Advaitacharya I was mentioned. I already mentioned that. Now, this is interesting because this is in a different mood. So I only have two more little things here. So this is a description about, this is from the Nectar of Devotion, actually. It's a description of one kind of rasa. To regard Krishna as one's superior is called reverential feeling. And when, in addition to this, a devotee feels that Krishna is his protector, his transcendental love for Krishna is increased, and his combined feelings are called reverential devotion. When this steady reverential devotion increases further, it is called love of Godhead in reverential devotion. Attraction and affection are two prominent symptoms of this stage. In this reverential devotional attitude, Pradyumna never talked to his father in a loud voice. In fact, he never so much as unlocked the lips of his mouth, nor did he ever show his face filled with tears. He would always glance only at the lotus feet of his father. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? It's just to show how submissive he was to his father and how humble he was in his company. So finally, I'll end with this. This is a verse from Rupa Goswami's Chaitanyashtak. He has two of them, actually, Chaitanyashtak. This is from one of them, verse number 5. I won't read the Sanskrit, but the translation is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a loud voice. The holy name dances on his tongue as he counts the number of recitations with his effulgent hand. So apparently when he's walking and chanting his japa, then he does it loudly. And he's counting. Sometimes it says, there are other verses that say that he has a string, a knotted string that he... Reminds me once of getting arrested and spending a night in jail in Sankirtan. And we took pieces of cloth. I was with other devotees. We made japa malas by tying knots in cloth so we could chant our rounds in the morning in the San Francisco jail. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya would chant in a loud voice. So those are just a few of the things that have to do with wonderful sounds. And so here, as Prabhupada ends here, the Lord confirmed Brahma's contemplation by roaring with his gorgeous voice. So the Lord and all his devotees have gorgeous voices to hear because they're spiritual. They're coming. Now, of course, I was thinking this also, you know, our voices may not be so gorgeous, but if the sound that comes out is glorification of Krishna, then it's gorgeous. Then it's sweet to hear by those who have appreciation. Even if, for example, the singing may not be so gorgeous, but because it's the Maha Mantra, then it's gorgeous and it's sweet to hear, and it's praised by great personalities. I'll read the verse again. Iti mimangsatastasya brahmana saha sunubhi bhagavan yagya purusho jagar jagendra sannibha. While Brahma was deliberating with his sons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu roared tumultuously like a great mountain. I hope that was okay. Mm-hmm. When I looked at the verse, I said, what am I going to say about Lord Vara's roar? That's the only point made in the verse. Well, I guess I'll look, see. I just started looking. I said, I think this comes up a lot, roaring like a cloud or roaring like thunder or loud voice. So I just started going through the Veda base. All glories to the Veda base. I couldn't give class without it. Okay. Prangavinda Prabhu, you had something? Oh, it's over your microphones here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I just saw him first.
Yes, you mentioned that Lord Indra, in his prayers, he was giving reasons to... the Lord, why he should be forgiven. Do you recall some of those? And do you know that some of those reasons may have influenced the Lord in his favor?
In other times. I was just reading it this morning, and I can't remember, actually. I've been reading Brihad Vaishnav Toshini, Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto, and I was just reading that section this morning. Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I could speculate. You're so merciful, or, you know, I forget exactly what he said.
Oh, so it, in essence, it was really glorifying him, glorifying the Lord.
And that, also saying, and you know, touched. I really blew it. One thing he said, it's kind of interesting. One thing he says is something like, well, I was just in ignorance in your Maya. Yeah, I was covered by your Maya, so you had to forgive me. I think that was one of his arguments. What can I do, you know? Maya's so strong, and I did this. I'm pretty sure that was one of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he gave different excuses. You know, what he did was, you know, he tried to kill all the Brijbasis. Pretty heavy thing. But Krishna forgave him. And then, he also said, I won't do it again. But he did something stupid again, right? When Krishna took the Parijata, then Indra didn't like it, and he fought with him, right? So he didn't learn his lesson. Indra's an interesting personality. He has his different sides. He shows great devotion. He lives with Lord Vamanadeva. So he's always getting his association. But then he does these funny things. Yes.
This is speaking of sound vibration, our frequencies. We can't underestimate the ching, ching, ching. There's been times when I've been in cities, maybe like with my kids and some of their friends, and we're going to a museum, and I hear it, and I'm like, wait a minute, we have to follow that sound, you know. So it's really, you know, we can't underestimate the power of Harinam.
Yeah, that's a standard feature of devotees, how I came to Krishna consciousness. I was walking down the street and I heard this ching, ching, ching before anything else. So that sound, carries a long ways, actually.
I was contemplating chanting our rounds. Haridas Thakur chanted three ways. It says, Bachik, Upangshu, and Manasik. Loudly, I don't know what is Upangshu, like a middle in the between, and then Manasik in mental. So, you mentioned also that Guru's Bandana, Simad Guru, Astakam, Etad Ucche.
Uchai, yeah.
Yeah, Uchai. What does that mean? Like, because I don't want to mention the name. There was a devotee here. It doesn't come nowadays, but once in a while he would like, Hare Krishna! And everybody would look at, why is
there? I was wondering something that myself, wrong actually. Because I was thinking it can mean loudly. It can also just mean out loud. Not just to yourself, but... I think when you're chanting japa in a group, you shouldn't be too loud. Your voice shouldn't be above everyone else's. The voices should sort of, that's just my own feeling about that. If you want to chant loudly like Haridas Thakur, then go in a closet. And I hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to chant in a closet sometimes with a chadar over his head. He was trying to block out all, he was so much trying to concentrate. I forget where I read this. I think it may be in Bhaktivikasa Swami's book about Bhakti Siddhanta. So anyway, of course, we're trying to hear. So we're supposed to chant. We want to hear ourselves. But I don't know if everybody else needs to hear me chanting. Even with Prabhupada, actually. I know some devotees like the japa take. Some devotees don't like the japa take. They find it distracting, you know. So I find it distracting, actually. I don't listen to Prabhupada, but not so much Prabhupada, but when other devotees chant really loud, I find it distracting. That's why I chant by myself mostly. But that's, you know, it's a personal thing. But anyway.
But that has to be a standard,
take it or
no?
Leave it.
That has to be a standard. One devotee says, I won't mention their name because I respect them. He said, Jayadvaita Maharaj said, there is a Mataji who asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, what are you doing? He said, I'm hearing you chanting. He said, no, you should hear you chanting also. So that's one version. Then another version is, can Prabhupada be one of the chanter in the group? Then the other Sannyasi was sitting here, told me, can you turn off Prabhupada's voice?
We all can turn off the japa tape. Yeah.
Because I face this here, right here.
Yeah.
So then I say, can't he be one of a chanter? Like, what's wrong of hearing? He said, well, Jayadita Maharaj said that actually that Mataji said that you should hear your own chanting.
Yeah.
I said, but I chant loud, then you'll be hearing my chanting if I sit next to you. So will that bother? Anyway, I could not come to any conclusion.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a, you know, make some absolute rule about it. One thing I know, sometimes I think devotees that don't like to hear Prabhupada chanting japa, in the, you know, like in the morning japa, I think if Prabhupada were actually here chanting, no one would complain, right? So some devotees, you know, so he is here, actually. I mean, that's one argument for it. What, you know, would you complain if Prabhupada were actually, you know, with us right now chanting, and he would say, Prabhupada, don't chant so loud, you know. But, you know, we can have different moods in these things. It's hard to make absolute rules about them. But I find myself, my mind is louder than anybody that, you know, anybody's chanting anyway. It's screaming all kinds of nonsense things. So I myself prefer to chant alone, actually.
I'm sure you are aware of that. I'll end with this. That what produced the result of chanting, so that verse Rupa Goswami Pad quotes, mana sangharanam saucham maunam mantra artha chintanam abhigratam anirveda japasampati hetava. The result of our chanting, how it is produced. Over there, it does not say loud or quiet, but it says that still the mind, you know, like a mix with it.
Yeah, so I mean, you could say that ultimately that's the idea. We have to hear our chanting. So maybe what helps one person may not help another. You know, we have our individual approach to it, you might say. So make an absolute rule. So devotees, some like in some way and some
what were you
like
quoting
in a different
just now?
Way. But that's the main thing. We have to try to hear somehow or other. That's the most important thing.
So what were you just quoting? Bhagavatam?
No, Rupa
was saying. Uh-oh. Is Astakam or Astakam? Japa Sanghetava.
Namashtakam.
I want to look it up. So one line is Hetava, Japa, Hetava. No, I was going to say that. I don't know how many people here were in Prabhupada was chanting Japa. I was happened to be a few times. And, you know, it's different when you hear the, because they make the recording higher or lower, but generally, it was definitely not as loud as hearing a recording, because like when I got initiated, every day it was chanting, like there were like 15, 20 people getting initiated. So you might argue, well, you're saving energy, but you hardly hear him chanting, you know. Or if you stood next to Prabhupada, I was there many times, he'd be chanting under his breath. He didn't chant, like very rarely would, you know, like whoever you were referring to, some crazy guy shouting, you know, madman, but not like that. It was just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, it was not disturbing in any way. The recording is sometimes turned up so loud. I mean, it should be low if it's on, that's all. If it's supposed to be like Prabhupada, you didn't hear, hard to hear him. So
he's one of us.
That Prabhupada japa tape, I was told by Pratyatosh Prabhu, Urmila's husband, he told me, I was doing Leelamrita interviews, he said that he recorded that during an initiation ceremony, that japa tape. Because Prabhupada used to chant on everyone's beads in the early days. So he was chanting for, you know, if he had quite a few people he was initiating, so he would be chanting for quite some time. So he said that's when that was recorded. Who's ringing? Yes. Not me, I don't have a phone.
So it seems like all the incarnations are all the Lord and His expansion, and so whenever there is speaking, they speak in a deep voice, rumbling voice. That's you know, that's always when you're reading, you pick up, you know, unlike the Kshatriyas, especially the powerful kings and so, speak in a deep, powerful voice. Like that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prithu Maharaj stands up there. He says, I'm the emperor and I carry the rod of chastisement or something like that. So he's a powerful kshatriya. I think the only one that doesn't have a loud voice is Mohini Murthy, a deep voice. Mohini Murthy doesn't have a deep voice.
Well, she's a woman. But all the male figures.
Since then, Krishna, I didn't look it up, but I was thinking at some place, even when Krishna was smaller, in the cowherd boy age, it mentions a deep voice. I can't confirm that, but I thought I had read that somewhere, and it surprised me. I thought, well. But even when Krishna's only, he never looks older than 15, 16, but still it says he has a deep voice. It's like when boys get older and their voice changes, right? Something else, Madhumati?
I was going to say something for the previous subject. I think Sanatan Goswami, he describes three different kind of japa. Does anybody know? I thought you would know. Prangavinda. Yeah. Oh, you said it. Yeah, so you do it in your mind and you do it very softly and then you do it loud.
Yeah.
In between. Yeah, I kind of think, like you were saying, the word aloud, I think that somehow I always think the loud is actually means aloud, yeah. That you say it aloud so that you can actually kind of hear it. Not, and I think that uchay, I guess it's just I'm thinking uchay means when you're doing the kirtan in the when assemble, not japa, is like Krishnot kirtana. Even with the Shad Goswami prayers, you get that word there, Krishnot Utkirtana, which is loud kirtan, and I think it's, and I always remember Satyananda Maharaj in his when he does the kirtan in the retreats and he chants and he's telling us, all of us, to chant really loud and then he'll chant louder and I'm like thinking, how can you, but I realize that when you actually, when he brings us to that point of like really asking us to chant louder and louder and you feel like you can't chant louder but then he's still telling you to chant louder, it seems like you do come to the stage where when you're actually chanting out that loud, you end up actually chanting from your heart. Again, it's not an automatic thing, but I think if you're putting your heart in there and you're really chanting out, really out, as loud as you can, you end up like really calling out to Krishna. So I think there is something about to chant louder in kirtan.
Yeah, I find it's hard to chant with enthusiasm when you're chanting really, really low. When it's low, then I have to go high, but then it's a strain on my voice. But but it's hard to be. It's hard to chant with enthusiasm, but what can you do? People have different voices,
I think what the Mataji was explaining was that sometimes because we still hold some reserve, whether it's bodily awareness or bodily consciousness or whatever, so if we're prompted to just, like they say, abandon, all care and just chant, then that you can reach that state. However, this is going to sound contradictory, but I've had my most revealing experience in chanting japa by doing it with the mantra riding the breath. On the inhale, the first part of the mantra, and on the exhale, the second part of the mantra. And hearing, you can still hear, because you hear the breath, the mantra's there. And that was like a really interesting how, even after I would chant the 16 rounds, it just continued to resonate as if I was attentive or aware of the breath, walking, moving, somehow it was just like had a greater vibration within my body.
Yeah, devotees do different things. There are different things recommended to help us concentrate. Breathing, controlled breathing can help, chanting, for sure.
When you say that, or Prabhupada says that devotional service began with the tongue. Is the tongue like has to move or tongue? What does tongue mean?
He says that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says the lips and the tongue should both move when one is chanting. I think it's going to, as long as you're saying anything, the tongue's going to move a little bit, seems like, at least. I don't think you don't have to stick your tongue out and start wagging it. It just means to pronounce distinctly the Maha Mantra. That's what he says. Don't just actually chant Hare Krishna.
Oh, that's nice. Because some, I mean, I should not say, but sometimes they do. Some people do.
Yeah.
So tongue means it has to be clearly pronounced.
It's like Prabhupada says, a Hare Krishna contains Om. So people think, it kind of sounds like, you know. You don't really say the words, it all sounds sort of like Om. That's not the point of that. All right, can we stop now? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.